Last night, we found out that Josh Giddey's list of suitors could be longer than initially thought. Now, is this a ploy by him and his agency? Or is this something that the Chicago Bulls should legitimately be worried about? We're going to talk about it all and more, plus the Chicago Bulls trade chips right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Der Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today. So Jake Fisher, on his Bleacher Report live stream last night, talked about the Chicago Bulls point guard Josh Giddey and how there have been as many as four teams that have reached out in regards to the Josh Giddey sign and trade with the Chicago Bulls, one of those teams and the biggest suitor being the Golden State Warriors. And he did mention that the other teams were Eastern Conference teams. And so naturally, that has now led to speculation on who those teams could be, what they could be offering, and then if that is the case, why is Josh Giddey not signed an offer sheet yet? And I want to kind of clear up some things. I do think that there are some key differences that some Bulls fans are missing in this talk that I want to kind of bring together, right? And first off, it's that you got to keep in mind, because a team is interested in a sign and trade, it does not necessarily mean that they have the open cap space to sign him to an offer sheet. So that could be different. I think another thing that I've seen communicated is that, well, if these teams are available, why isn't Josh Giddey getting his money? Again, you have to kind of more so be willing to sign a player to a offer sheet for that to increase the team's offer, or thus to get a team more involved. I think there's some fundamental kind of differences in a offer sheet and a sign and trade. A sign and trade, you can create space for that player based off the salary that you send back in the sign and trade. An offer sheet, you have to have the cap space to sign that player to an offer sheet outright. I also think a key difference in this is that while we hear that teams are interested in a sign and trade for Josh Giddey, that does not mean that they are in on Josh Giddey at the $30 million that he's initially seeking. It could just mean that those teams are hearing, hey, the Bulls are trying to get him for only $20 million. Oh, man, we can get a little bit more than that on sign trade. For example, the Golden State Warriors are about $25 million beneath the first tax apron. So that could be their money that they're willing to give. So, for example, if the Bulls are only offering a 3 or 4 year deal at $20 million, and the Golden State Warriors can come in there and say, well, we can do a sign and trade. We can actually get you $25 million in the first year, and then you can raise off of that. That could be kind of what those conversations are around. So just wanted to first kind of lay the groundwork on the fundamental difference that I think some people are misunderstanding in regards to a team being interested in a sign and trade, and why that team thus has not gone out and made an offer on an offer sheet for Josh Giddey that the Chicago Bulls could match. And that also brings you to the difference of a sign and trade versus an offer sheet for the Bulls side of things. If teams signed an offer sheet to the Bulls, it gives the Bulls an opportunity to match. A sign and trade, because it's agreed to beforehand, would thus mean that you don't have the opportunity to match. Sure, you can go to Josh Giddey and say, well, if that's what they're offering you, we can do that to you as well, but you don't have the official ability to match that, right? So just those key fundamental differences in this. Now, I want to be clear here. I think we do have to give some credence to this could very well be Josh Giddey's agency floating this out there to either increase the value or to speed along this process, right? And that is something that we've seen before. The media is used in contract negotiations more than I think we realize sometimes, and that could be what's happening here. Now, I don't know. I haven't gotten to see a lot of what Josh Giddey's agent has done before. He is Australian as well, and I don't know if he's even managed a lot of NBA players that have been in restricted free agency in the same way, right? So I don't know if that's a ploy. I don't know what the media connections is there. If this was like a Rich Paul, I could kind of have more, history to go off on and how they use the media to kind of get their guys deals. But this has been all the talk basically in the last 12 hours or plus since this initially came out. And it adds another wrinkle to this. I'm not going to act like it doesn't. It does add another wrinkle to this conversation. The fact that teams are willing to sign a trade for the Bulls. One thing that Jake Fisher also pointed out in this is that teams haven't really wanted to work with the Bulls. And it seems like it's more due to the Bulls and the way that they manage and the value that they hold on Josh Giddey. If they were to try to give him up, that they do want, you know, quite a bit of a contract back or a package back for him. Probably think along the lines of like Lauri Markkanen and how they got that first from Portland that still hasn't conveyed. More on that pick actually later on in this episode. And that could be kind of what's happening there. Now, Josh Giddey for Jonathan Kuminga sign and trade is initially what people, of course, go to when they heard that the Bulls could be interested in a sign and trade. I mean, the Warriors could be interested in a sign and trade for Josh Giddey. And I guess that would make some sense in the sense that we know that the Bulls have had some interest in Jonathan Kuminga, and that Jonathan Kuminga and his agency, I think it was reported about less than a month ago, that they were hoping that the Bulls actually were going to make an offer for Jonathan Kuminga. So it could be some synergy there. I don't know how much that deal really does for the Bulls. Again, our forward rotation is kind of deep. Even if you do move Kobe to the one in a Josh Giddey, if Josh Giddey goes elsewhere, I don't think Kuminga can play the two. I just don't think he has the lateral quickness. I don't think he has the shot-making ability consistently that you need out there on the perimeter playing the two. It would be a huge lineup. You got to think, if you're playing Josh Giddey Kobe White at the one, Jonathan Kuminga at the two, Matis Muzelis at the four. You're probably, Kevin Herter, I guess, can be the two then, and Kuminga could be the three, but then your long-term with Noah Essengay is a little bit questionable there. I mean, there's a lot of different machinations in which you can get to there and make it make sense, but it just doesn't seem that way. Now, I've already talked about it, that while we hear that teams are in on Josh Giddey, potentially in a sign and trade, if it gets to that point, it does not necessarily mean that they're in on him at the $30 million evaluation, which the Bulls are still holding firm on. Now, hearing that teams could be interested in Giddey could mean that those talks go from, which keep in mind, the Bulls have refused to budge off $20 million reportedly. Josh Giddey and his agency have refused to budge off $30 million. Could just be something that gets them closer to meeting in the middle. So closer to 24, 24 and a half, $25 million, something like that. That could be the thing that this could end up doing as well. Because you like to think that if the Bulls have put their best offer and they refuse to take it, Josh Giddey and his team have put their best, their demands out there and they refuse to move off of them. At some point, I get waiting to the other side blinks. But at some point, too, you got to get to the point where somebody got to give up something. And some news like this could push that to either side to maybe go a little bit more in on that. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. I know that a lot of people like to bring up Patrick Williams and his $90 million contract over 5 years as well. That is an overpay. Make no mistake about it. But again, if we want the Bulls to learn from that and we want the Bulls to do it, we can't just take it as a sign of negativity that the Bulls are negotiating when we don't want them to, and then applaud it when we do want them to and they do it. At the end of the day, like, this is the first time that the Bulls have really been in a situation to where they just haven't acquiesced at the restricted free agency. Like, you look at Kobe and Io's restricted free agency. That was done before they even had a chance to even meet with other teams. Same thing for Patrick Williams. Even the Nikola Vucevic contract extension, that was done before he even had a chance to hit the open market. So this is really the first time the Bulls have gone to this lengths with this. And, you know, yeah, it sucks that it's being done to Josh Giddey, a 22-year-old player. But at the same time, like I said, and I know that my Josh Giddey stans don't like hearing this, but there is some rationale in, hey, we just, like, before we commit that $30 million, we want some assurances, and that those assurances come with, hey, let's get this shorter term deal. And then, yeah, we may have to end up paying you more than what we would have if it was a 5-year deal. But you know, we're willing to take that. So, you know, it is what it is. I know that many people are going to say, well, the Bulls are cheap. The Bulls are cheap. The Bulls are cheap. And I look at this and saying, yeah, there's a little bit of that. But I think there's also a little bit of trepidation, because while we could talk about the small sample size, and that small sample size was great, and even earlier in the season when Josh Giddey was helping Nikola Vucevic and Zach LaVine have the seasons that they started off with, if the market dictates that you can get a player for cheaper, most teams are going to try to do that. Some teams aren't. Some teams are going to be willing to just pay their guys because they're their guys. But then again, the Bulls may not look at Josh Giddey like that yet. But then the messaging is also confusing, because they say things like, we see Josh Giddey as a foundational piece. Overall, if this is something that helps this deal get done sooner, the sooner the better. Like, let's just get this over with so we can focus on basketball. We can focus on trying on this team, focusing on developing together working. Training camp is about 6 weeks away, right? We're going to be right in the midst of training camp. Can't wait till that happens. So those are the things that I would like this team to be able to focus on. And, you know, we'll see. I do, like, take it everything with a grain of salt, as always. There is no scooper that's 100% right. There's no scooper that I would say is even 40% right most of the time. And that includes Shams and some of the things that he says beforehand. You report on something after it happens, that's a little bit different, right? So we shall see what ends up happening ultimately with Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls. But it feels like this is starting to come down to, it's starting to wind down. Like, this is probably the last bit of spurt. Now, you're going to hear this. You're going to hear different machinations now. I guarantee within the next 2 or 3 days, we're going to hear, oh, one of the Eastern Conference teams that was interested in Giddey was this team, right? You're going to hear that. This is going to give a whole nother leg of the media for the Josh Giddey speculation. Casey Johnson's probably going to have his fast break or whatever it's called over on CHSN about this here in the next 5 or 6 hours as well. So it's going to give another media leg to this, but this may be that last spurt. And so everything that kind of spins out from this could be the last that we hear of it. And hopefully this all leads to a Josh Giddey deal.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Getting done sooner rather than later so we can just move on and know now what this team is going to be and focus on what that team needs to do to try to win more basketball games next season. And we'll see how it shakes out at that point. But with that said, let's move into the next topic. And that is the Chicago Bulls trade chips and how the Chicago Bulls can manage this deadline. Of course, the Bulls' biggest trade chips, if they decide to move them, would be Coby White and Ayo Dosunmu. Hands down, if the Bulls do decide to move those guys, there are going to be teams that are interested as being expiring contracts and being easy contracts to obtain with the value that they have now. Yes, you got to negotiate with those guys at the end of the season to try to get an extension done. But ultimately, it just is what it is when it comes down to that, right? Those are the two biggest chips that the Bulls do have. But I do think that the Bulls have more trade chips than they've ever had at a deadline before. The question is AK actually going to use it, or is he going to fall in love with the player again and then end up holding on to that and it going into the offseason? And when you look at it, Kevin Huerter, a high-volume three-point shooter, and yeah, the thing started trending towards the wrong side of things there in that at the end of the time with the Sacramento Kings. I think him coming over to the Chicago Bulls and being back more in line with what he was at other parts of his career may have reinvigorated that. We know that teams look for shooting at the trade deadline. They look for defenders at the trade deadline. And Kevin Huerter offers that volume shooter, especially if he's playing off more creative guards and has a better defensive base around him. He offers some of that of what teams would be looking for going into the trade deadline. I think when you look at it, shot 37% on 7 attempts per game in his 26 games with the Chicago Bulls. Those are really good numbers when it comes down to that. I think when you look at the fact that he's also an expiring contract, he is a player that could garner some interest at the trade deadline. No doubt about it. I think Jalen Smith and Zach Collins, one of the two of those guys, are probably going to end up getting trade calls, if not just outwardly being on the trade market, because Billy Donovan doesn't play multiple bigs. He does not go 3 deep into the center rotation, even though Jalen Smith can also play the 4, which is something that Billy Donovan is not going to do when Jalen Smith fell out of the rotation. There could be some interest there. Zach Collins, another expiring contract. Jalen Smith is on a really reasonable contract as well when you look at it. You got $18 million expiring with Zach Collins. You got Smith, a player that has already proven that he can play in a lot of different lineups as well, and that on not really big minutes, he can put up numbers. He put up 8.8 points, 5 rebounds, and only 15 minutes per game with the Chicago Bulls. If you're a team and looking at a player that if you have more of a role for, right, and you could say, well, we could play him 20, 22, 25 minutes. There's no reason to think that Jalen Smith can't be a double-double type player for you in those minutes, depending, of course, upon the role, right? He's also 25 years old. He's a guy that can stretch the floor a little bit, and he's only $9 million contract per year. I think when you look at teams that could need a big at the trade deadline, there could be a reason why teams come calling to the Chicago Bulls for either Jalen Smith or Zach Collins. And Zach Collins is more of a two-way big that, you know, while isn't a lockdown defender and while isn't some crazy, double-double threat when it comes down to scoring, he is a competent center that can come in and either start for you or be a really good backup and depth piece for you coming off that bench. I think that the Bulls have some interesting trade trips at this trade deadline. The question has always been about, though, will AK actually use it? Will he push those chips in and use them and take advantage of that interest that could be there at the trade deadline? And there's no guarantee of that. And that's the part that does suck on this, right? If you had a GM that you trusted more that was kind of trying to stay ahead of the curve as far as moves, there'd be a lot of reasons to think, hey, the Bulls could be willing and dealing. I've talked a lot about it. Over $60 million in expiring contracts. A lot of GMs around the league would love to be in that position at before. And keep in mind, this is before one of the biggest off seasons that teams have already been planning to line their money for the summers of 26 and 27. And so because of that, the Bulls having these expiring deals where they can absorb money, where they can send out money and not be long-term money, so teams could actually get players back that fit roles, right? Needed roles. We talk about bigs, defenders, and three-point shooters. The Bulls have two of those things. They got bigs. They got a three-point shooter. Again, they could have a defender in Io Desumu, but I doubt that they make him available, right? So you're in that position where you can have desirable types, player types that teams typically look at the trade deadline. The question is AK going to make his move on it? And that's the thing that I can admit to you guys. I have no freaking idea. None. And keep in mind, I mentioned these players, and I mentioned Io and Kobe at the top of it. I didn't even mention Nikola Vucevic, who's a $21 million expiring contract, right? If he starts off a season like he did last year, could more teams be in on that? Didn't mention that player as well. You got Javon Carter as another, again, a throw-in. I'm not saying no team wants Javon, but if you need to make the salaries work or you need to be a third team in a trade to make the salaries work, Javon Carter's $6 million contract is right there that also expires at the end of the year. Nobody, I think, is going to want Javon, but if you're a team and you're like, damn, we need a little bit of extra money in this, the Bulls could facilitate that. And that's where the problem has always been at with AK, is that the things that other teams do to either stack assets or to take advantage of contracts that are expiring, AK has never really done while he's here with Chicago. He's never really done it. Andre Drummond was an expiring contract that also had interest that we got offered 2 second-round picks for. We did nothing and then just turned him around and threw him away. So it's those type of things that AK has continually lacked at, that when you hear Bulls fans and the trepidation and doubt that they have around this front office making moves to, like I said, stack assets for future assets, that it gets to the point to where you're constantly disappointed because we're just not a franchise that has done that under this regime. I'll give John Paxson that he did that a little bit more when he was GM. We did it a little bit under the Gar Foreman as GM era, but not nearly as much, but it was way more than what we've done so far under AK, under the years that he's been here. And hopefully that's another thing that AK starts learning for. When you see some of these trades, and this, like, when you get into some of those areas that you start looking at, hey, this team made this pick to get that player. And then you start looking back like, damn, they actually got that pick by a trade that happened 3 years ago, and that was a protected first-round pick that nobody really looked at that time. Like, we don't have that for the Chicago Bulls. We don't really. The closest thing that we have to that is the Portland Trailblazers pick, which brings us to our next topic, right? That Portland Trailblazers pick is another thing that's starting to gain more and more and more value, right? I think when you look at it this way, right, the Bulls initially, the Portland Trailblazers wanted to add Larry Nance Jr. to the trade that sent Lauri Markkanen to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bulls would end up with the first round pick and Derrick Jones Jr. in that trade where Larry Nance Jr. went to another team. The Portland Trailblazers GM, Neil O'Shea, who I think a lot of Portland Trailblazers fans hated for a long time there. Now that the team is starting to do things more competently, you're starting to see kind of more things turn around. I think also having a coach in Chauncey Billups helped turn that around as well. But there's now more talk around that Portland pick could be more valuable. This direct quote: There's no way Portland is going to risk losing the Milwaukee swap rights. Therefore, the Bulls can hold this pick hostage and sell it back to Portland for a premium. If they have to wait until 2028, Chicago's going to command a far steeper price to give it back. So in a vacuum, this Portland pick won't be great. As a bigger picture asset, though, it has a chance to prove pretty meaningful. And what they're saying in that is that Portland has the right to swap picks with the Milwaukee Bucks in 2028. Again, they have that, but they will lose that right to swap picks with the Bucks if the Bulls have not gotten that pick yet and we still hold on to that pick. So as we talk about managing future assets, the Bulls have the Portland Trailblazers pick that has gone from this theoretical pick that's never going to convey to the Portland Trailblazers getting Jrue Holiday, re-signing Dame, and having now until 2028 to where that pick can convey to the Bulls until the 2028 season. There's now room because the Portland Trailblazers are going to want to keep that pick because Giannis could be off the Bucks by 2028, and that first-round pick could become extremely valuable. So one of two things can happen here. The Portland Trailblazers can either try to guarantee the Bulls pick because they have the right to do that to say, hey, let's just give you this first-round pick in either 2026 or 27, or if it makes it to the year 2028, where the Portland Trailblazers then would have 3 years of trying to be a playoff team, and they look at that Bucks pick, and especially if Giannis is off of it, they could come to the table for the Chicago Bulls and say, hey, what do we need to give you to us to get that pick back? Because we got to swap this pick with the Milwaukee Bucks. And that would be kind of the first time that we've seen a deal that AK has made end up paying off in the long run for the Chicago Bulls. It's a bunch of woulda, coulda, shoulda in there, right? Possibilities that lay in there. But I do think those possibilities are a little bit more possible than what some people would give it credit for. And we just got to see how things shake out for these three teams over the next 3 years, because I tell you what, there's a chance that the Bulls actually may hold a pretty important chip in all of that. And I guess we'll see how it shakes out. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.